All right, I want to welcome you to the House of Manna. Those of you on the podcast, I want you to earmark your Bibles, get into your app, and I want you to turn to Luke 19, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. We are going to begin in verse 11 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 11. We're going to read out of the NIV version. I welcome you to the podcast, and I pray this is an encouraging word for you, that whatever God gives you, it is time to release it and invest in the kingdom without fear. Invest in the kingdom without fear. Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. It is the parable of the 10 minas. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. Say with me, he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for his servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Take charge of 10 cities. Y'all don't want to hear. Y'all just I'm going somewhere. Verse 18, the second came and says, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and says, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. Verse 22, his master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You did that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put in my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine, who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it begins to manifest in our life, but you opened our eyes of our understanding, open our hearts so that we will receive. But more importantly, God, give us the revelation of your word. Now I release right now in this atmosphere the angels, the ministering spirits of God, to go forth into this sanctuary and prepare the people to receive. Lord, I thank you that there is signs and wonders about to be displayed. Out of this sanctuary shall flow rivers of living water from the throne of God. We will see revival come forth out of this place. We will line up with your word and begin to do as you commanded us to do, is to occupy this land until you come. Lord, we're taking back what the enemy has taken from us. Lord, we thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. I'll tell you, when I begin to read this, I have an understanding. When God gives you something, he wants you to use it. He gave all of them the same. So he gives of equal share to everybody. I said, Lord, what's with this meanness? What's this meanness? This is different. I have no what meanness is. Talked about dinero. You talk about money. You talk about checks and credit cards. I got you. Meanness. Well, it's said in the very beginning so that we don't get sidetracked. He was where? Going where? Jerusalem. He was coming out of a region where he had already talked to them about sowing. Now he's coming into Jerusalem, a city of the well-to-do. They knew about trade. They knew about finances. They knew that whatever you gave, you're going to get something in return. So when he gives this parable, he's telling them, you should already know this by now, because who I'm speaking to, you have an understanding of currency. You understand that? It's like for me to walk over there into the district of in Chicago, and what is it called, that where they have the bull when they do all the trading and stuff. You know, we got Wall Street in Chicago. They have a trade there as well. But when you go there, you go talk to them about money, their ears going to perk up real quick. But you think they're going to talk to me about going, say, look, I got about $500 I want to invest. They're going to do exactly what you just did. They're going to laugh and say, well, we ain't going to waste no time with you. Because all we deal with here are people that have real money, that are taking risk. Risk. Have you ever taken a risk? You ever taken a risk? She like, well, Pastor, I take a lot of risk. Just driving here was a risk. But I'm only going to deal with people that are willing to take a risk with what I've already given them. So he uses this parable and he tells them he gave to them, but then he's going so that he can become king. And right away they say, well, we don't want him to be king. I can't stand him. We hate him. We don't want him to be king. So Jesus gave him this parable. How many, when you read that last statement in there, that bring all those enemies of mine and kill them in front of me? Did y'all start thinking that was Jesus talking? That's about that shrewd king. So what he's saying is, if you're so caught up with this worldly system, it's not as forgiving as I am. But if you don't put to use what I have given you so that it can be a currency in the kingdom of God and begin to multiply for the king, then it's going to be taken from you. I was like, no, wait a minute. You said you don't take your gifts away. He said, I'm not talking to you about your gifts, nor your talents. Because Jesus gives another example of this same story, but he calls it the parable of the talents. But this one, he said, meanness. He's speaking to them concerning the currency of their region. Anybody talk to you about your money? You pay attention, don't you? Yeah, just get that one NSF fee that come through your checking account. You start looking, where did I mess up? What happened? I know somebody got the credit card and didn't tell me they were going to charge something on there. Because you start looking, because money has a way of getting a hold of your heart. You know, when your car is reading on E, when you've already judged it as far as you can go, I've got about another 3 more blocks. I'll make it home. And you start praying in tongues just to get you there. My question is, how are you going to get to the gas station? Because you put it off long enough, right? But we get to that point. But what if you only had just enough to go put gas? But instead of going doing what you were supposed to do, you put it off by faith. You know how we do it, by faith. Oh, I'll do it in the morning. And in the morning, you're like, oh, Lord. Here's now your faith really is increasing now. It's really increasing because you don't want to go. You didn't want to stop last night because last night you were just tired. But in the morning, you're like, oh, if I should have just did it last night, I wouldn't have to worry about it this morning. The coffee pot wasn't working this morning. I didn't have the right creamer. It didn't taste right. So I was, you know what? It's just not clicking. Have you ever been there? When things just kind of start going wrong, they just continue to go wrong. Now, the first one said, here I am, Master, King. You gave me 10, and I got 10 more. So what did he say? I'm going to give you 10 cities. 10 cities. I mean, you only gave me 10 minas, which is only a little bit. And you're going to make me ruler of 10 cities? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we look at the little that God has given us, and we don't look at how we can increase while he is gone. Hear me. You see, when he is not moving in your life at that moment, what will happen is he will allow that to increase by faith. By faith. That means your faith by you is going to increase when he's not there. Not when he's there. Because if truth be told, if you know daddy was right there the whole time, well, I got this. God is right here. We got a good God, a big God, an on-time God. God's going to get me through all the time. And no matter what is going on, God's got my back. But what about when he doesn't come through? He just didn't say when he was going to do it. He might make you go late a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months. Oh, Lord. Some of y'all are like, no, let's go beyond the month, Pastor. You know, it was back in 2010 when I've been waiting for this certain thing, and it went on and it went on. Where are you, God? Will you come through? Your faith begins to change. I didn't say dwindle. It begins to change. But what would happen if everything that you were believing for and fighting for and standing for looked like it was about to die? Where's your faith then? Because we feel like when he's gone, why do it if I don't feel him? Why do it if he's not blessing? Why do it if he hasn't shown up? Whew. See, the one that did, it says the one that came to him first said, here you go, here's yours. You gave me 10, but the 10 that you gave me, I got you 10 more. I said, okay, I can understand that. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to get back. Okay. But then what happened was he gave him more than what was given to him. Matter of fact, what I like about this, about the kingdom, is he gave him something that really wasn't his to begin with. It was the master's, the king's. He gave it to them. But then when he came back to what was rightfully his. You, the currency. You. He came back for you, but he knew if you didn't go out and go get more so that I could come back and get more of the souls instead of just you, then you didn't do what I told you to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, there's many people in the church that they get saved and then that's it. I don't know why I got this Moses stuttering going, oh my. Moses, get up out of here. But listen. What? You're good. We get saved and we think that's it. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can just go to church, look pretty, look good, get there, give my little minas. See, real faith says, are you going to give what's rightfully his? Even when you don't have. Oh. Even when you don't have. See, some of y'all already start grabbing your checkbook like, oh, Pastor, you going right for that money again. No, I'm not. If we truly, truly seek the kingdom first, and we put all of our efforts, and we put all of our talents and our gifts into the kingdom of God, what we're going to reap is more souls. Ooh, I got one person. I'll just reach to Katrina back here. Right, Katrina? We're going to get some more souls. Amen. We're going to get some more souls. We're going to get some more people coming into the kingdom. We're going to get some more people getting saved. We're going to get them healed. We're going to get them delivered. We're going to get them cast out of all those things that they've been raised up in, change their mindset. We're going to change some things. It doesn't end with you. It starts with you, and it begins to multiply in Him. So the second one, my question is, if you saw the first one doing something and you saw him getting a return, wouldn't you have done the same thing? Oh, yeah. If I was to tell you the same $1 million and I gave it to you, Baya, and I told you to invest it here, you're seeing the return coming. What was your inclination to do? Do the same thing. But why didn't the second one produce as much as the first one? He didn't invest as much? Maybe the fear of losing what he had gripped him more than the one that said, this ain't mine to begin with, so I'm just going to put it out there. If the master comes back, at least I did what he told me to do. At least I did what you told me to do so I could get more for you when you return. So what happened to the second one is some fear began to creep in. See, what happens with a lot of us is that we begin to move in the kingdom of God, and something or tragedy or something in our life hits us, and then we begin to back off. You know, we were gung-ho when we got saved. There wasn't no demon that we wouldn't take on. There wasn't anybody we wouldn't tell about Jesus. But let us go through a little bit of seasons in the kingdom of God with some wonderful Christian folks in the church that have a tendency to judge you, have a tendency to look at you up and down and look at what you're wearing. Did you even iron your pants? Little wrinkle there, Pastor. Little out of order, aren't you? But you see, it's a little trivial, but yes, you young folks in here, we're supposed to iron your pants where you have a crease. Remember that? No? Not jeans. Are you kidding me? Jeans? How many of you remember the days when the jeans had to be so starched you couldn't even put your feet in? You couldn't even put your feet through them because they were so starched. Now it was so sharp. You cut a piece of cake right there with just that. But you see something happen. Someone comes in and they say something, look at you, they do something wrong. And then what begins to happen is you begin to doubt yourself. So doubt begins to set in with the fear based on your experiences around others. And that makes some sense. Well, you've been in ministries where you've gotten hurt. Like every single one. Well, that's everybody here. But why is it in the kingdom of God that we get hurt and God doesn't take care of it? God doesn't take care of it. God, you know, go get them. God, you know they hurt me. Go get them. Sick them, God. But I find it interesting is that it keeps on happening. God is using the kingdom to show you what type of soil you are. He's going to show you your soil. He's going to show you the boulders. Some of y'all were here Sunday. He's going to show you what's been stopping you from receiving your harvest. But if you don't get it, you're just going to keep getting persecuted. Unless you just kind of shake it off. And when you shake it off and keep on moving, what was once there that was blocking you is no longer blocking you. It is now a stepping stone to get you to the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus. Are you understanding this? Some of us don't like to play in the sandbox with other people. We like to play in the sandbox with our own toys and not with other people. But the kingdom of God will mix in some folks in your sandbox so that it can get irritating to you. I just talked to you a couple weeks ago about the parable of the fine pearl. What? How does a pearl come into existence? The sand. Oh, from the sandbox. Okay. Gets into this. What is it? It's an oyster. Oh, Lord. And then it gets so irritated. What happens? It starts to form inside of something that is secure. Okay, hold up now. See, y'all don't want to. I just, oh Lord, I'm just trying to get through this a little bit. God will put you in places of security, but even in the place of security, the agitation and the irritation must come so that you can begin to lean on Him to remove some stuff out of you, not others. Okay. Lord, I wish we had some Josh playing on the guitar. We're going to get it figured out, Josh. It's all right. We're going to get it figured out. We're going to figure it out. But you see, what happens is He'll allow people to come into your kingdom, yours, your domain, and begin to make you doubt on your own abilities. Fear and doubt begins to set in, and you're no longer working the kingdom of God. Are you following me? Has fear crept in? And then we don't want to do what God has told us to do. He is really getting to the point where He's saying, here's what I have given you. Now go make it happen. So that I can return, not to get what I've given you, but to get more than what I gave you. Some of y'all going to get this one. So you may have started out with the $10. But eventually your $10 seed is going to be tested to see if you'll give that $1,000 seed. And when you give that $1,000 seed, He's going to test you to see, what are you going to do when I bless you so much that $1,000 is nothing much like but a $10 seed. But you're going to have to give again above that. This is what He's talking about. Hallelujah. You see, ask and you shall receive. Woo! Feel the Holy Ghost now. Yeah. I know that He has been testing me in certain areas. I know you've been tested in certain areas. Has the test come over and over in the same area? I know we don't like it. I know we don't like it. He said, Lord, how about enough of this test? And let's just get over and let's just pass this test, God. And He said, that's what I'm telling you, Marty. When you're going to get over this test now, I'm tired of having to grade it and give it back to you and tell you still ain't passed yet, but I'm standing with you. I've got a place to take you. You haven't been there. Based on your past experiences, fear and doubt have set in. You've been irritated. But out of your irritation comes the pearl. What is a pearl representative in the Bible? Revelation. The 12 pearly gates. Imagine that oyster. 12 pearly gates, you know, heaven's 12 pearly gates. That's a big old oyster. What is he talking about? He wasn't talking about no big old oyster giving big old pearls. He was talking about your revelation and the understanding of the tribes of Israel and what he was trying to get across to us, that there's different characteristics inside of you that are representative in the tribes. And when you get that revelation, you begin to understand who you are in the kingdom of God. You can begin to reap your harvest from that tribe. Oh, Lord. This is a Bible study, right? We can get there. If we're saying that the iniquities of our forefathers we're having to deal with, what about the blessings of our forefathers? That they were to go down to 1,000 generations. Then I know I'm stepping in to, that's why Moses was here just a little while ago. Because he is in spirit, he is here. When they saw Jesus in the mountaintop, they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. What is happening is we're about to experience the harvest of what the king gave unto the servant. Go and get more for me when I return so that I can give you cities in return. Oh, come on, somebody. What is he talking about? He's talking about authority. He's talking about rulership, taking dominion, taking back the land. Just being in this place is a fulfillment of a prophetic word, speaking of a prophet needed to come here to get in line with what needed to be done in this place to release revival in this place here. Where else can you be in one building, have 9 different ministries across different denominations serving the same God? That is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That we can get together, labor together, love one another, show one another love, and take back what the enemy has separated and divided. Woo! This is a manifestation of thus saith the Lord. We walk things out and we experience it by revelation. When revelation sets in, the enemy can't take it. So what he did for many, many years, different dispensation, he caused us to be so worried about how much you had, and what you had. Because they were afraid if they were totally to surrender and get past that division, that it would increase. Do you understand? So now, in what I believe is happening in the body of Christ, there has already been an awakening. Oh, don't miss this. There has already been an awakening. What comes after an awakening? Revival. You cannot have revival unless the church is awakened in order to receive. Oh, God. I could have stayed on 6565 Babcock Road. We didn't fill it. A little room. We get to a bigger place. Watch it here. We got over 20-something kids on the first Sunday in those rooms. I was like, Lord, that's some good stuff right there, God. We could have stayed where we were at. I don't think so. I was getting tired of being so cramped. Not us adults. We weren't cramped. Y'all had enough room to lay out. The kids were cramped. Watch this. Watch what I'm saying. What did I say about your seed? On your envelope, that the kingdom of God, the currency of the kingdom is what? You. It's you. What is the harvest? The kids. Another generation. I believe what is taking place in the body of Christ is that what has already been poured out, we're getting ready to step into. The Bible said that when Jesus was crucified, that the heavens opened up. It never said that it closed. It never said that it closed. Open up the heavens. Jesus said, it's been open. What are you talking about? Open up your heavens, Lord, and pour out your glory. It's been open. The glory is in you. The glory is in you. When are you going to open up? When are you going to open up your door of your heart and let the kingdom come out? When are you going to reach across denominational barriers and start reaching out to people and say, I love you regardless of what you believe, regardless of what I believe. I love you because you're just like my daddy in heaven. I love you because you are just like him. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is just like that. We're about to experience the harvest of what our forefathers have sown in by the Spirit. And we're going to experience greater than what Elijah did, greater than what Elisha has done, and greater we will do than what Jesus has done. I don't know about you, but you better be testing the water, whether it'll be turned into wine or that you can walk on it. Because I know one thing's for sure, if Jesus did it, we can do it too. But if Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, so can you. If he healed the sick, so can you. So what I'm telling you is, the first servant, it's not mine, so I'm going to do what the master said. Second one, hesitation. Maybe wait a little bit too long. It started seeing the increase and then said, you know what, I'm going to do it too then. Still got more. Got five cities. But Marty comes along. You know, there's a Marty in the Bible all the time. I know how you are, Master. You take what's not yours and you get mad real easy. So I hid your meanness. And I buried it. You know, that's because how we do it with God. We know we messed up. I put me your grace. Lord have mercy. Well, how does he respond to that sermon? How does he respond to him? He calls him a wicked servant. Wicked servant. What was he calling the wicked servant wicked for? Because he did not obey. Jesus is giving this parable. He's coming into where? Jerusalem. Why is he talking to them about this? They had the word. They had the Torah. They had the Pentateuch. They had the scrolls. They knew of who was to come. They just didn't realize it was him. And then they even scoffed at him. They made fun of him. They hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. Just like this parable. Are you getting this? Now you're just laughing at me. Look. This is what he's saying. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you don't listen, I call you wicked. Who is he calling wicked? The one that didn't believe. Now, here you go. Here you go. He's coming into Jerusalem. Speaking unto the scribes, speaking unto the Pharisees. You know the Pharisees. I'm only going to do things that look holy, but I won't be holy. I'll make you feel like you're unholy so that I can look like I'm holy. So he's given this parable as he's entering in because he knew they were going to hear. He knew that they were listening. And this is what he said. The one that disobeyed the wicked one and the ones that called all my enemies that don't like me and hated me, bring them here. And do what? Kill them. Is Jesus saying that? He's saying this about this wicked king? What he's saying is you don't have the life that he's promised you if you don't obey what he's telling you to do. When you obey what God has told you to do and begin to sow into the kingdom, your heart, your love for people, get more back in return. If you want to put it towards money, that's the principle of the kingdom of heaven. Put it in the ground, see what'll happen. The Bible said in the first mention, you put seed in the ground, it produces after its kind. Kind. So I know what we're about to experience is the king coming and giving to those that are faithful, even to those that were hesitant, their rewards. What would happen in this particular parable? Jesus addresses three groups of people. Number one, he addresses the citizens of Israel who hated, rejected, and ultimately killed him. Then there's the good and faithful servant who faithfully engaged in all the affairs and businesses until he returned and they became generously rewarded. And lastly, the unfaithful servant who wasted his resources because of fear. Which one of these do we fall under? Which one do you fall under? Are you faithful? Well, I answer faithful because I'm in church and people are looking at me, and I'm going to be faithful because I'm in church and I'm going to be faithful. But at times we get to be the ones that are unfaithful, that we waste what God has given us. We do that. We're human. He's not going to slaughter you. It was a parable about that king. Where's your heart? If your heart is for the kingdom of heaven, then what's going to happen is you're going to release the kingdom of heaven everywhere you go. Amen? Now, there are two kinds of fear in the Bible. Two kinds. The first one is found in Exodus 20, 18 through 21. This is when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning, and they heard the sound of the trumpet. And what did? They stood off afar because they were scared. That's a fear, reverential fear of God. This is the kind of fear that flows from the rightly understanding God and the necessity of obedience that flows from faith. The first kind of fear is a fear that flows from faith. What is the other kind of fear? The other kind of fear flows from unbelief. Unbelief. Paul tells us that because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now the group of people that he was speaking to were people that had an understanding based on what they were taught in the synagogue about a religious way of life. Jesus comes and he turns the tables on the religiosity of the folks that denied him. Do you understand? He chose 12. 12 apostles, 12 disciples, 12 followers, 12 students that many people would have never chosen, so that he could do away with the system that was pushing him out. If you ever felt discounted or left out, or you feel like you're unqualified, Jesus looks at you and tells you that because of who he is qualified you for what he wants to be done here on earth. He's not looking for your abilities on yourself. Those are talents and gifts. He's looking for your ability to be faithful and obedient. And out of those 12, he changed the way church was to ever be. Did the church in the book of Acts start in a synagogue? Huh? Where did it start? What'd you say? In a little room they gathered. Where did the church really get birth? In the streets. In the streets. Where has the enemy been running rampant? The streets. If we don't do what Jesus has instructed us to do, if they can come in on the outside, in the streets, and the people in the streets look at the church, say, "You're drunk." And Peter look at him and give the greatest sermon ever recorded in history. The church started with 12. They had a few more people in the upper room. Even in the waiting process, so many of them left. That when the church really got birth, here came the first sermon. It had no microphone. There was no PowerPoints. There was no songs. It was by the power of God, that with the demonstration of his spirit, that Peter begins to now give a sermon that pierces the heart of the people, and over 3,000 give their life to Christ. Where did the church get birth? Streets. We look at, oh, a beautiful Ephesus here. It's beautiful. It's nice. Lord, I thank you for it. But the real power gets demonstrated outside. If we keep looking on the inside for his power, we're just like that wicked servant. What did he do with the gift? He hid it inside a cloth, is what it said. Other rendition says a sweat cloth. It means a napkin. If we're only going to release the kingdom of heaven in a church service, we're just like the wicked servant. We need to release it out in the streets, in your everyday life. Because if truly, if we were to be affected by his presence, how many of the teenagers would be living a godly life in school when they're not with their parents? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm okay now. I'm going to get the parents now. Is that okay? I get the parents now? Okay, I'm going to get the parents now. If we were really in the kingdom of heaven and we are really affected by the kingdom of heaven by his spirit, how would the parents really be treating each other? Would they really be loving unconditionally, not looking for something in return? Yeah, there ain't no little kids in here. We're going to talk about this a little bit. You can hold up a little bit. I want them to hear this one, Josh. I'm going to hear this one. You know how some married folk do when they you know how they do. They're going to be real nice to you when they want something. When they want something. See, that's not real love. My honey Lucky, she's sitting way over there because I was going to go over here and kind of. Baby, I love you. I love the way the light is shining on you right now. It's just like the glow of the Lord is upon you. And the anointing that is so very attracting is upon you. I just love how God is just ministering through you all the time. And your faith just moves mountains. Maybe tonight. Yeah. What's the motive? What's the motive? Come on. You know what the motive is behind all of that. It's something in return. That's not love. That is you manipulating to get what you want. What would it be like if parents began to choose to love one another without anything in return? Oh, I'm going to put myself on blast. What if a husband would just decide to constantly open up the door for his wife and not have to be told? Hold up now, shoo. I was telling myself. She would shout me down, Pastor. Amen, Pastor, you better do it. But what if the wife decided that she was just going to love her husband and encourage her husband, even when they just took out the trash and it wasn't monumental for you, but for the husband, baby, I took out the trash. I even double knotted it too. You know how men get. They want to let you know. I did that. Or if you happen to just come and catch your husband doing the dishes. Maybe I did it for you. Don't worry. Just sit there. I got it. What if you were just to tell him how wonderful he is? See, the real kingdom of heaven is when you do your love for someone. Did we struck a chord here, I think? And I don't mean the guitar chord. I mean we struck a chord. You love unconditionally. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to love them if they love me back. So he says, God so loved the world that he gave. Not for anything in return, but he gave. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now. What if leaders in the city were not doing something just to gain your vote? Then after they get their vote, turn on a dime. Do you understand? The kingdom of heaven is unconditional. I'm going to do for you because I love you. I don't expect anything in return. I love you. That's it. That's the kingdom of heaven. Now, a wicked servant. I'll stay back here now. A wicked servant. Be looking to get everything they can get without putting anything or effort into it. Would defy every command that was given. Now, growing up, I was an angel to my mother. You know how you were. You were an angel. You may have been the fallen ones, but you were an angel. You see, but mom didn't say, I'm going to throw you out. I'm tired of you because you always miss and I'm through. Done. I know you're only two. Because, you know, we have the terrible twos. We all with you. You're not an angel. Get those halos off. Twos, threes, fours, 28. 47. We all go through that age. We all go through that, but they don't disown us. My mom didn't say, you're done. Through with you. Go make your own bottle. It's trivial, but think about it. Think about the worst time in your life. Do we throw God away? Do we just give up on God because things are so hard? You don't understand why someone was taken from you so soon? Do you give up on God and just kind of throw him away? When you have your car repossessed, you're homeless. You have no food in the pantry. Your son is on drugs. Your daughter is strung out. Or your daughter's run away. Do you throw God away? God doesn't throw us away. The kingdom of heaven is I'm going to do it because I love you. Because I love you. That's what the kingdom of heaven's like. When he gives this parable, he's talking to us and addressing our nature. There's times that we'll truly trust him. There's times that we'll delay in trusting him. And there's times that we just disobey him purposely. That's what he's talking about. What state are you in? Will you trust him all the way? Or will you hesitate? See, true obedience makes you step out on faith when you can't see the next step. Faith isn't looking at your business plan, thinking whether it's going to work or not, and put all your money into it and think, that's it, I'm done, I got it, I'm successful. Business plan tells you you're going to have to equate for some mishaps, you're going to have to equate for some pilferage, and you're also going to have to equate for loss. That's faith. That's real faith. Or going to a car lot knowing that you can't afford it, but trusting God that He'll come through. Now, let me qualify this before you go out there. I'm going to trust God, Pastor, you said. Hold up now. You know what's coming in on a weekly. You better know that God said that God has graced you for it. How do you know that God has graced you for it? Things fall in place. Fall in place. That's the God we serve. The God that we serve looks at things that we're going through, understands our heart, understands our nature. He says, I love you anyhow. I love you anyhow. Isn't He so good? If you know that He's so good, He's a good God. He's a big God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a faithful God. Then you know that you can walk through every single valley in your life and know that He's right there with you. Even when He's not answering, even when you don't feel Him, even when He's not even talking to you on a regular, you know that He is there. That's how David could say, I look unto the hills from which my help comes from. What was he saying that for in his sonnet? Because he was always in a valley situation, but he still trusted God up on high. So he was the God of the mountaintop, and he was the God of the valley. So whatever valley you're in right now, he is still your God. Even when things aren't turning out your way, he is still your God. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. I hear this in my spirit. Sons and daughters that have been lured away, either by lust of the flesh, or by the influence of those that they feel that they have to be around in order to be accepted. It's caused them to be so bittered and rebellious. These children, the rebellious ones, the ones that with the hardened heart that they don't want to listen, these are the ones that we will see return back to the kingdom of heaven with such passion, with such fire, and with such an understanding of a real God of the valley, a God that is in the world, a God that is on the mountaintop, but a God that demonstrates mercy and love right where they're at, but He's looking for somebody that will give of themselves so the kingdom of God can be displayed. I believe by the very prophetic gifting of God that there is about to be a return of those that many would coin the phrase of the prodigals returning. I'm here to tell you, they may not even think that they're prodigals. They may not even feel like they're in a place of prominence or even in a place of recognition, but they are coming into the kingdom of God, for the love of the Father shall go down and reach into the valley, reach down to the miry pit, and lift them up out of the clutches of the enemy. We are going to see a return of a generation that is going to love God for who He is, with the fire being displayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe it by faith. Receive it by faith. If your loved one is out there and they're just scared to come to the kingdom, believe by faith that your faith will return them back to the kingdom of heaven. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. We're about to experience a Zacchaeus encounter. Where you may feel like you're insignificant, But God has placed the tree in the ground. It has been growing its roots. It has been growing deeper and deeper so that it can reach higher and higher. For those that feel that are too little, too small, or it will never be seen, God is going to look up right at you. Stop in his tracks and say, I'm coming home to your house. I'm coming to your house. The Bible says that Zacchaeus and his family were all saved. All of them. I'm coming into your house. I'm getting into your place of residence. I'm coming into your place of security. I'm coming into your place of secrecy. But I'm coming in so that I can grab hold of those that are connected to you. Those that are associated to you. Those that have come through your lineage. I'm coming into your house to grab hold of your family. The Bible says that they all were saved that day. That day. There is a return in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I heard it. Thank you. Whew. Hallelujah. Whoever you are that is in this room right now, you made the right decision. You made the right decision against what others told you not to do. They didn't quite understand, but it was, you didn't hear it by your ears, you heard it by your spirit. You made the right decision. The right decision. I encourage you, beloved. I encourage you right now. I release peace into your heart, peace into your mind, and cast out all fear right now in the name of Jesus. Father, by your spirit right now, move in this sanctuary. Touch those that feel that they can't be touched or haven't been touched by you. Let them encounter you today. Let it be that fresh touch. Let it be that touch, oh God, that they know it's from you. There he is. There he is. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. There is healing right now in this atmosphere. Those are for those that have been standing in the gap for their children. Standing in the gap for their loved ones. Nieces and nephews. Sons and daughters. Husbands and wives. You've been standing in the gap by faith. I prophesy this right now into this atmosphere right now. Those that are under the sound of my voice. Those by way of the podcast, those by way that are here physically and spiritually, you are about to see a return into the kingdom with such fire that those that have been standing in the gap for those that do not want to know you, that have turned away from you, that have closed the door on you, Jesus, they're about to experience the very loving hand of God upon their life. Lord, I thank you. That I declare that all manners of sickness and disease right now be cast out in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Every soul tie is broken right now that has kept you attached to a loved one. It is time to let it go. Let them move on in peace as you move on in peace as well. So that you can embrace what is standing in front of you right now. Destiny. Destiny. Father, I thank you for them right now in Jesus' mighty name. I believe by faith, O God, that you shall bring this manifested into the kingdom of God. We thank you in advance right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you leave, I want you, as you would line up in this aisle, to drop your seed. Don't just drop it and walk off as tradition. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is the currency is you. As you drop your seed, I want you to think of that loved one that you've been praying for, a family member, friend, co-worker, whatever, because you're putting in this seed for them. Amen. I bless you. Declare that God's grace and mercy, his favor to be upon you, but begin to do great and mighty works on your behalf. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, as your precious children come to release their seed for a loved one, release their seed, Father, for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I thank you that the harvest is great. I thank you that what they have named their seed, Father, is that the currency of the kingdom is relationship. It is us, Lord. And that we are to look at it as value. Value. That we look at one another as valuable, valuable souls for the kingdom of heaven. And valuable people with emotions, a mind, and a will here on earth. We thank you that you give us the encouraging words to speak, that you give us the utterance to declare, and that you loose our tongue to declare the goodness of God without fear or hesitation, but out of obedience unto you. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children that believe said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may line up as you come and release.